Well, amen. Welcome. That singing just makes it sound like revival already. What a joy it is to have all of you here to help make that happen, to just inspire our hearts. At the beginning of this series of meetings, well, I guess the time that we have longed for and prayed for and waited on has come. This is the first time that we have been able to gather together, the three of us churches from Charity and Ephrata and Harmony, in a combined revival meeting. And we are blessed to have many of you in our midst already as visitors from various parts of the country, and that's a joy. We still have a few seats up here at the front. We'd love to fill them, that Brother Manny doesn't have to see all these empty seats up here in the front when he gets up to preach. Preachers don't like to preach to empty chairs. At least I don't, and I think many others don't either. So some of you from the back, if you can make your way up here and fill them up, that would be a blessing. All right, just a few verses from the Bible. In Isaiah chapter 64, that scripture says, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causes the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence." It would be such a blessing if God would speak in revival once again in this world to the degree that the nations would tremble at the presence of God. One of the things that grieves my soul from day to day, yea, our soul is vexed at times at the lack of the fear of God in this nation of ours. We tremble at what will happen if they do not get the fear of God in their lives. But here, I was just blessed with this verse. Thine adversaries, those that are against God, would tremble at the presence of God. May it begin in our own hearts this week. May God inspire us. May God help us to see our needs. May God, as Brother Earl says, help us to see where we've missed it, where our priorities haven't been right. And may it be a time of just revival all through here. I thank God for just the inspiration of some of you having traveled such a distance to come here. And others that are planning to come, God bless you for your efforts. Truly, we sometimes in the east here, at the home, a little more of the home front, we forget and take for granted the opportunities we have to hear the Word of God preached. But when we sometimes see the hunger in our travels, it reminds us of how complacent we tend to be. So God bless you for being here, and may we inspire each other this week. All right, God has brought a brother our way, formerly from Cuba, tonight, and I've asked him to share his testimony. We would like to hear various testimonies of God's work in different areas of the country and different people's lives. And yea, if God deals in your heart this week, we would like to hear some of those too as the week goes by. But Brother Mikhail, would you come up to the platform here? He is presently living in New Mexico, and God brought his sweet fellowship together with this afternoon with us, and I felt that he should share a little bit tonight of how God has worked in communist Cuba with the power of the gospel there and also other places. God bless you, brother.
Thank you very much.
Shall we pray Shall we just stand together to pray before our brother speaks to us? Father in heaven, God, we thank you. We bless you. We are so grateful for the opportunity to be here tonight. And already we can smell revival, God, in the singing of the hymns. And I do pray, God, visit us. Come down, God. Melt the hearts, Lord. And our adversaries, oh, that they may tremble. That they may tremble. That our nation may tremble. The town of Ephrata could tremble at thy word. And God, I just pray, bless our brother. Put a guard upon him, Lord, tonight, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, would inspire him what to say and what to share with us this evening. We commit him to you, and thank you, God, for bringing different brothers from various parts of the country our way. We pray it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you.
I won't be honest with you if I won't tell you I'm nervous. I've never faced so many faces staring at me. And my plea this evening is, don't look at me. Look at Jesus Christ. I'm nothing. And we were singing the song, there is power in the blood of God. And if you are here tonight and you think that whenever you leave these doors, you're going to be empty, you're wrong. In your subconscious, in your heart, there's going to be something there. Because the Holy Spirit is not going to allow you to go here empty. And if you are ready to be filled, you're going to receive that from God. Because He's willing to do that in your life this evening. So if you are here, just be ready. He's going to pour blessings from God because He wants to do that in your life tonight. I'm convicted when I'm... Some of the brethren asked me to share part of my life testimony. Usually I share that Jesus never wrote his life testimony. I don't want to do that neither. But few of the brethren feel that because of the need of the people that see the miracles that God can do in a person's life, they have asked me to share that, and I'm willing to do that for the glory of the only one that can do that in my life and in yours too, if you are willing to. I'm a citizen of the country of Cuba. I'm 33 years old. My whole name is Renato Michel Ochoa Castillo. I go back and forth and visit my relatives and the church in Cuba. We have a church in Cuba. It's been there for close to 9 years. And please pray for them. I was sharing last evening. Some of you heard me maybe if you were in bed for last evening. And pray for them. The reason I'm here in the States is part has to do with the persecution I faced as being a pastor, why not saying that, in the church in Cuba, and faced a lot of persecution and finally lost my house and were threatened many times. Finally, my parents filled out a form that I could come to the States. I was chosen and then I came here. If some of you brethren feel like asking more questions to me, I'll be staying in Brother Andy Zalinski this evening, and some want to write letters, I can give you my address, my phone number, so you are welcome to call me and talk to me. One thing I want to share with you this evening is the mighty God can do mighty things in your life if you are willing. And please, many times we hear these same preachings and the preachers talking this way, but it's real. And it was real in my life, and I can be real in your life. I was a young man. I was, when I was still an adolescent, I developed an inner hatred against my parents. I was the oldest son of my family, and When my brother and sister were born, I got jealous. And you know how it is. Brother or sister, if you're facing that tonight, I can tell you, you can have freedom in Christ Jesus. Jealousy, envy, And those type of things are sin. And Jesus came to save you from your sins. Remember, that's the first promise. Jesus came to save His people from their sins. Amen. And I praise God for that, because as much as I was growing up, I developed that inner desire to hurt people, practice a type of a sport that will be violent, and I became an alcoholic. If I would spend 20 minutes or an hour without drinking, I would go insane. I would have to drink, or I would go trembling and very violent. And I didn't need any doctor or any pill to deliver myself from that habit. It was the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And I praise God for that too. When I was didn't know about God, Cuba is a communist country. Today it's opening to the gospel of Jesus a little bit, but 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago, it was really tough to be a Christian in Cuba. And I have many stories of things that happened in my life that made me feel it so. I was tired of my life. I didn't care my life too much. And you know, the Lord Jesus can use you only when you are empty yourself. And I didn't know God. I didn't want to hear anything from God. I was not interested in God, but deep in my heart, I had a desire. And you are here, young boy, young girl, you are here, you are listening to me. You might be brought out in a Christian home. I don't know what type of religion or denomination or however it is, but you have been taught a few things from the Word of God. I wasn't. And I tell you one thing, listen to your parents. They love you. Some of your parents might have mistakes, as many of us. Search your heart. We all have mistakes. But they love you. They teach you. And I didn't have parents that would teach me that way. And so, as a young man, I developed that inner hatred within me. And I start drinking. I was working in a bar. I was preparing this Bloody Mary cocktail. And instead of putting the tomato juice, somebody suggested that, why not put in your blood? So I opened my, some of you want to see it, you can ask me at the end of the service. I opened my shirt and I caught, I put the blood and drank it. Another time, that's just to show you how I didn't even respect my own life. Another time I used to work in a 12th building, in a 12th floor building. And outside the building, you could go outside and be at the have fresh air and see the city. And there was a wall that will be about this wide. And on top of that wall, I walked just for a little bit of a alcoholic beverage to drink. Those are the things that I was doing in my time. I was, of course, trying to call the attention. Young boy and young girl that you are listening tonight, don't try to call the attention of your parents doing crazy things like those. You might get hurt. I could have been hurt. But that's the way the Lord kept convincing me and convicting me. Every time I would go through a church, I would hear people about talking about God. It will convict me. And you are convicted tonight. Those things that you are living in your life, those struggles you have in your mind, in your heart, you're convicted. You cannot deny that. Maybe your father and mother cannot see those things, but God knows those things. And I'm not talking to young people only. You adult people, you have lots of things to think about. And examine yourselves. Be an example to the young people. Repent when it is need to repent. I didn't see those things in my life. I could have seen those things if I would be living in the United States. But I was chosen to live in Cuba. So, one time this lady, 60 and some old year old lady, came and talked to my mother about Jesus Christ. Who was Jesus Christ? She would say that Jesus Christ would save His people from their sins, and she would talk of the love of God sending the begotten Son, and I kind of mocked at her at the beginning, but deep in my heart, I was hungry for those things. And I pray God, young men, don't get impatient. When you talk to somebody and you think the person is mocking at you or laughing at you, just keep insisting. You know, she kept insisting. And the result today is that I know the Lord Jesus Christ. And you never give up. Just keep insisting in the people. No matter that you have 15-year-old, no matter that you have 65 years old, keep insisting. You know. And so she came that time and she invited me to go to church. And I kind of rejected her. I kind of mocked at her. But the next day that she came, when she looked at me and the Lord put the words in her lips that will break my hard heart, she said, "Are you willing to give your life to the Lord?" And that broke my heart. And I was expecting that she would say something like that, even though I was mocking at her, because she could recognize that I was hungry for God. You know, I just told her, there is one hindrance in my life, and that is that I need to drink. If I don't drink, I become crazy. I do things that I regret later. And she said, "Do you believe that God can take away that from you?" I said, "Yes." And she said, "But you have it all." I said, "But how come?" She said, "Just pray, God." I said, "Well, how to pray? I don't know how to pray." She said, "Just go to your bed and talk to God as if you were talking to your friends. Tell God that you want Him to take this desire away from you in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ." And I went to my bedroom and I had that faith. You know, that's the faith that God is expecting from you. It's a faith that it touches the innermost part of your heart. It's the faith of a child. The faith that you believe, even though it's a faith that is blind. You don't care what people mock at you. You don't care what people talk about you. You just care about God. That is the faith that He's wanting from you today. And with that faith, I went to that bedroom. I didn't even know what a prayer was. And I knelt there and I said, "God, I don't know You. I will challenge You. If You are really God, take the desires of drinking away from me. And I ask You this in the name of Jesus Christ." You know, you can say that I'm a Pentecostal or whatever it is. I'm not against anybody. I'm not against Pentecostals. But when I came out of that room, there was something different in my life. I could feel something that will fill me. It will be hard to express. I don't know how to say the words, but I tell you one thing, it was wonderful and it was beautiful. And I came out, and you know, as soon as Jesus was baptized, the devil came and tempted Him, and that was what happened to me. This lady just could see the joy in my life, and we prayed together, and she led me to the Lord. I understand that I needed more teaching from the Word of God by that time, but as soon as she left, my friends came to me to invite me for drinking again. They will come every day. And you know, when they came and I told them, "I don't think I can go today." You know, one of them said, "Oh, come on, are you homosexual or what? You know, I used to fight to go around with women and do all these macho things." I said, "I cannot go with you today. I have something that doesn't allow me to go with you today." And they thought I was going crazy or something like that. Brethren, you know, people think that we are crazy, you know. People call us names and, you know, they mock at us. Young people, don't get, you know, impatient and sad when people mock at you. You know, Jesus said in Matthew that he was called the father of Beelzebub. That's the father of the evil spirits. You know, if you are a member of the household of Jesus Christ, you'll call all types of names. They still call me names. And, you know, when they left and they finally gave up, I could jump out of joy and say, "God, I couldn't do this. And you know that I felt in my heart I wanted to go and drink, but You put something in my stomach, in my heart, in my mind that would never allow. I thank You, God, for all what You have done in my life." That's going to be about 10 years. I never drank in my life. I never got pills. I never went to see the psychiatrist or anything like that. I can relate to many stories of my life, things that I did in my life. You know, I tell you one thing, when I go to the province that I was born and people see me on the streets, they greet me, they talk to me. You know, the Lord can use you for that, even here in town, in the neighborhood where you live. The people see the change in your life. It doesn't have to do with the clothes that you wear. It has to do with your heart. If your heart is not transformed, you're not going to convince anybody about your religion. Amen. Think of that. And so the Lord started using my life. people start knocking at my door, and we gathered together, a few of us, and we met. We had the privilege to, the Lord made a way that some of the brethren from the States, from a plain church, would go to Cuba. I will contact them, I will contact them through a church I was visiting. I was a pastor in that church. And so I met these brethren. They gave me some literature. I read the literature. I talked to them. And I said, this is what I want. And brethren, by the grace of God, we have a church in Cuba today. They face so many struggles, so many temptations. Pray for them. We are not part of any big Mennonite. I don't know how to call it. I better leave it to you. You understand that? I don't want to go into deep waters. I know why I say that. But I'm going to say the same thing I said in Bedford last evening. You can put these tapes wherever you want and give it, pass it away, whoever you want. I'm not afraid of any man. I didn't come here to please you. I'm pleasing God. And the blood of Jesus has power. I never get tired of saying that. Yes, we have a church in Cuba. We have three young sisters there, 19, 18, and 13 years old. They were put away from the educational system because of the covering. Sister, are you tempted with your covering? Do you feel ashamed to have the covering? Let me tell you one thing. In Cuba, you can be a lawyer, an engineer, a good doctor, and it doesn't cost you a cent. And these sisters choose to have the covering and be put away from the educational system because of the Lord. Are you afraid? Are you ashamed to have a covering in your head? These sisters, when they go on the streets, the men in the bicycles, almost everybody has a bicycle in Cuba. They take away their coverings, they mock at them, they tell them nuns and stuff like that. Are you ashamed of your covering? Shut up. Don't complain. The sisters, don't complain. They are privileged to have a covering. Brother or sister, were you married before and now you love this your wife, you have a second wife, you have children, it's hard to separate. Jesus never had a wife. He never had children. I was married when I didn't know God. I didn't know the Bible. I didn't know Jesus. And because of the Word of God, I cannot be married again. I cannot have children. We can do all those things only by the grace of God. Amen. I cannot do it on my own. And I tell you one thing, I can go out of this door and be the weakest sinner in the world. Because within me there's nothing good. But it's just by the grace and the power of the Spirit of God in my life. And so I encourage you tonight. I encourage you to be faithful to the Lord. Die to yourself every day. It's hard to do that. It's hard to die when people are mocking at you. It's hard to die to yourself when people are saying all kinds of things against you and treating you like I don't know what. But it's the only way. It's the way of the cross that we are going to receive the blessings from God. Right now I'm living in Farmington, New Mexico. Tonsinka, the Lord wants me to stay there. Pray for me. I have my struggles. I'm 33 years old. I live by myself. And I have my struggles, my temptations. I have to confess sins in my life and be renewed every day by the grace of God. People, I pray that you be one. No matter where you are, no matter if you are in a community that the people despise you, people reject you, be loving, be kind, be transparent to one another. These meetings that you are having today, it's a blessing from God. Receive the blessings that God is giving to you today. Don't hesitate twice to stand up and say, God, I want to reconcile my life with you. Don't think twice. The Lord is calling your heart in this moment. He's knocking at the door. He's telling you, give my heart. Give me your heart. And he's not going to use too many words. He's already knocking at the door of your heart. Give your heart to the Lord. There are Christians in other parts of this world. It's not only in Cuba. It's in everywhere that are facing temptations and struggles and needs, scarcities everywhere. And they are faithful to the Lord. And you are rich in here. You have everything. You have freedom. You have food. You have medicines. You have everything. May the Lord be blessing your life and you respond to the calling of the Lord. I leave a little time for questions. Maybe I will not do that. But if somebody wants to ask me a question, sometimes I forget what I'm going to say. I have so many things to share with you today. I just want to relate this, how the Lord is going to use you as His instrument. I was even living here in the States, and I met this group of Mexicans. And there's one in the group that is always the leader. And this man will be the shortest one, but he will be the bravest one. He'll be the one that will kill if necessary. And this man, he never came to the States. And he came to the area where I was. I met them. I invited them to church. I would preach to them in Spanish and teach them things that I know and I have experienced in my life. And this man will be very angry. He will act really angry. And the others will call me and say, "Be careful. This man can kill you. He can beat you. He can do something bad to you. And he's going to do it right quick. You will not have time." I told this man, the other man, "No, he's not going to do anything." One day he was really angry with me. He was feeling bad. I couldn't understand why he was so angry, but he was angry. And so we were having a meeting, and he didn't want to look at me. He was just looking down like this, and the others would do like this, you know, that I would keep my distance from him. You know what I did? And that's what we all need to do. When it's somebody, you know, when we have problems with somebody, somebody hurts us maybe, or we hurt somebody sometimes, we need to go to the person. We need to get those barriers, those walls that we build away in the name of Jesus. We need to do that. And I came to him and put my hands on his shoulders, and I moved him like that and said, "You stand up." And he stood up, and I looked at his eyes. He didn't look at my eyes. I said, "You look at my eyes." And he looked at my eyes. You know what I did next? I hugged him and kissed him. You know what that man did? He started crying like a baby. From that day on, he would love to go to my house and be by myself. Not with the rest, but by myself. And he would pour out all the things he did in his life. All the sins, the cruelties, the beatings to his wife and children. The many times he get drunk and he would say and do bad things. And shooting animals and killing animals. One time he was feeding his donkey, and maybe the donkey's head was close to him, and maybe a fly came around, hit his head, and he got a big machete and stopped the thing. He was that type of person. You know what that man told me, crying with tears in his eyes? "I want to have what you have."
Amen.
I said, "I don't have anything. I'm a sinner like you are. I just repented." He said, "I want to repent from my sins." And he repented from his sins. And he said, "I promised that if you go to my community in Mexico and you talk to the people all the things that you have shared with me, I give my heart to the Lord." I said, "No, you're wrong. You're wrong. I can fail you. You need to give that vow to the Lord Jesus Christ." You know, brethren, I didn't have money to go there. I don't have resources. I'm still a Cuban. I will never be a Mennonite or an Amish. I'm going to leave it there. I didn't come here to be rich or make thousands of dollars a day and just put it in my pocket. No. I got the little thing that I had. In fact, it was prepared for a trip to Cuba. And I went to Mexico. I choose a dear beloved brethren that I wish you all know. His name is David Keeling. He lives in Missouri. And we went there. You know what happened? His wife would come to me and said, they call me Don Michelito there. His wife said, "Thank you, Don Michelito." And she would be crying. I said, "Lady, I didn't do anything. He just wants to have what I have. And you know what I have? I have the Lord Jesus in my heart." You know, this man doesn't know how to write or read. And he wants to have a church there. Are you going to pray for the church in Mexico? We want to have a church there. Are you going to help us? Are you at least with your prayers? Please pray. He has two friends that he used to drink. You know what? These two friends came and they said, "You know, we know that you are from Cuba. You are living in the States, and you brought some shots to shut him so that he doesn't drink anymore." And he already told me that these friends will come and ask me for the syringe and the shot. I said, yes, I show the shot to. I will show the syringe to them. And when they came and they said, we know that you are going to shot him now. I said, yeah, come and see. And then I get this. This is my syringe. And I open it. And I read the scriptures in the book of Psalms when it talk about the ones that drink. And you know, they couldn't believe it. You know, this man that used to fight, the other day I was told, he didn't say it, somebody else has told me, that a man came to hear him and told him that he's an homosexual. He's not drinking, he's not going around with women or stuff like that. You know what he did? He looked at his eyes, turned around and went. In other times he would have killed that man. You know, if you don't believe in the power of the blood of Jesus, I tell you one thing, you are missing something. Because there is power in the blood of Jesus. And the testimony is not only here, it can be in your heart. The Lord can do a mighty work in your heart. You just need to lead. You just need to give yourself to the Lord. And I can see your faces. And some of you even do like this. Are you the ones that do like this? Are you experiencing that now? Share it with the people. Don't keep it for yourself. Don't be global for those things. Sometimes we are global. We I don't know, maybe that's not even the right word, but you know what I mean. If they put something new in the Walmart, Mennonites want to be the first ones there. Let's be the first ones of sharing the good news of salvation. And may the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.